Badger by Owl Light.
Come in. What can I do for you, David?
Talk to me.
All right, then. Any taboo subjects? Sex, religion, politics?
Tell me about violence.
Nobody needs to be told about violence.
I do.
Who do you want to kill?
Nobody. I'd just like to understand violence, that's all.
If you've never wanted to kill somebody, you'll never understand violence. If you have, you understand it already.
Did McAllister know that?
Yep. McAllister knows the rules.
Is that why you did it?
Right.
Suppose it had turned out the other way.
McAllister would have had to kill me first.
I think you've told me what I want to know.
What did you do in the Great War, Daddy?
I was a systems analyst. One day, I really analysed the system and found I didn't like it.
That sounds a bit over-rehearsed.
The truth always does.
Did Simon tell you about me having a gun?
Well, yes, he did.
Let me bring you up to date. Somebody's nicked it.
Bloody fool. I told him.
What bloody fool, David, and what did you tell him?
Why don't you go away?
Why should I?
You don't seem to be...
Commune material?
Well, yes.
Everybody keeps telling me that.
Maybe they're right.
The voice of the people is the voice of God.
I actually happen to believe that.
What the hell do you or any of you know about the people?
Oh, what a clumsy thing I am. I keep treading on working class background.
You'd better believe that, too.
Jason's going to love you. Oh, yes. Jason's going to love you to death.
For years, I watched my father die. Not from mercury or lead, asbestosis, silicosis, anthrax, or anything like that. His sickness never was that physical, that dignified. He died of, yes, sir, and it won't happen again, sir, and of course you're right, sir. Every day, another layer of skin flayed from what had once upon a time been integrity. He lived for years in an iron lung of defeat. Then one day, he closed his eyes and died of chronic indignity. The door slammed as David took his offended middle-class illusions away, and I lay down on the comfortless bed and wondered about all the things that David had not said, and gradually I dozed off. I awoke with a start into a premature dusk and something glimmering white in the air in the center of the room.
Ha, 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 I frightened you.
Hello, Ginny.
I get a bandage on my head.
It looks very pretty.
That's silly. I'm a wounded soldier.
A girl soldier?
They have girl soldiers in Israel.
I've seen them.
Have you?
Yeah, hundreds of them.
I've seen a ghost.
Now that's really something. I mean, anyone can see a girl soldier, but ghosts are special.
It was dark.
Yeah?
And he was singing a Jesus song.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw me, he ran away.
Were you frightened?
No, I don't believe in ghosts.
She went off, trailing her 7-year-old skepticism behind her like a doll that was sometimes alive and sometimes not, according to the necessities of the moment. The poor do not even have ghosts, I thought. Democracy will triumph one fine day when a ghost is finally authenticated in a council housing scheme. I left the oppressive house with its ghost that sang hymns and ran away from children. Outside, the rain had ceased, and the girl, Esther, appeared, shapeless in a red duffel coat and carrying a basket of eggs.
Feel like a walk?
You look like you're auditioning for Little Red Riding Hood.
I'm going to see a customer.
What does he buy?
Eggs.
We walked round the back of the house, then away from it. We followed a steep, muddy, treacherous path into the landscape. It stretched grey into the distance, floating in a way only the Chinese artists have mastered. Somewhere an invisible curlew celebrated the loneliness of everything.
I love that sound.
You're a romantic.
After my life and hard times in the cinema salt mines, you must be joking. You knew Jonathan Taverner, didn't you?
What makes you think so?
Oh, I don't know. Something about your expression when you were scrubbing that word off the wall.
Yes, I knew him.
Now, there was a romantic for you. Except for one thing.
What did he lack?
Stamina.
I wouldn't have said that.
Neither would he. He saw his life as a series of betrayals. From Santa Claus through Marx and Mao and finally even God.
The path went riding through thick, wet brown heather. In the distance were rolling hills, ridged like corduroy with forestry ditches. Then, suddenly, there was a field, and at the far end of it a cottage fenced around, and a man leaning on a gate, watching us approach. I knew him at once, and immediately he knew me. We had once had a conversation, and now it echoed in my head.
Look, man, let's keep it all in the one bit. You asked me here to identify my brother.
What's that you've got in your pocket?
An old snuff box. I picked it up in an antique shop.
Great. You can take him away in that.
He was a big, powerful man. Precise, exact, empirical. His eyes were blue and bright with the belief that people would sooner lie than not. There was something about him that was as ancient as the Old Testament. We looked at each other in silence, each of us waiting for Esther.
Your eggs, Mr. Hardacre. Same price as usual.
How do you do it in these days of inflation?
Keeping it a secret until we're asked to save the world.
You're new, aren't you, Mr....
Tallien. Peter Tallien.
Oh, I'll tell you how new he is. That's the first time I've heard his name.
My name's Hardacre. Salem Hardacre.
Not an easy name to forget.
Tallien's another name with a kind of built-in promise to remember.
What are you two talking about?
Names. Their origins, their meanings, the psychological effect they have on those who bear them. A fascinating study.
Which computers are making a branch of archaeology.
Right. You a drinking man, Tallien?
Not noticeably.
I like a drop of beer myself. You'll find me at the local any night. About 8.
Someday the state will wither away, and we'll look at each other with clear, kind, pastoral eyes, and we will dance in the streets which are becoming strange and green and new with grass. A great new song will rise high above yesterday's hideous architecture. People will fall about, drunk with love. Then, when they consider it has gone on long enough, men will appear with whips and teeth clicking like stopwatches. The apparatniks with a new name, a brand new name. And how about that, Mr. Salem Hardacre?
How about Mr. Hardacre?
He's fuzz.
Ex-fuzz.
He told you.
Over 20 years in the force.
Then one day on the road to Damascus he heard a voice.
You don't believe him?
That road to Damascus has seen some pretty weird people. What brought him up here?
Well, seems he always had a hankering to be a naturalist. He's particularly interested in badgers.
A perfect alibi for roaming the countryside at night.
You could be an easy person to dislike.
I am.
You work hard at it.
I think people should show themselves worthy of love, should actually earn it.
The old Protestant ethic.
That's just a phrase you've picked up somewhere. A parrot could learn it in half an hour.
Thank you very much.
The trouble with you half-ass so-called revolutionaries is that you throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I find you more and more endearing.
This welter of love you go in for. Under all the goo, it's really a belief in mass production. And in the end, the effect's the same. The whole concept is debased.
Jonathan Taverner wouldn't have agreed with you.
He didn't. And look what happened to him. After that, we walked the rest of the way in silence. It was that luminous hour when everything we think of as inanimate seems to declare itself and contradict our thinking. When, for a moment, our alienation from the world trembles on an edge of extinction. It was dark when we reached the house, and with the darkness, the alienation was back. The children were all reading, and the scene had the uneasy devotional atmosphere of ideas being received. They were book people, the bureaucracy of intellect. If it wasn't written down, it wasn't real. And if it was written down, its reality ceased there. Sarah was reading The Dialectic of Sex. It seemed to me unnecessary. She must have caught the thought, for she put the book down instead straight at me.
How did you find our ex-policeman?
Italian spotted him right away.
Now that I find very interesting.
Don't read too much into it, Simon.
So your name's Italian, is it?
That's right, Peter Italian.
I don't think you've met Jillian either.
I don't happen to know anything about chickens, do you?
I'm afraid not.
I'd have thought you'd have been expert at wringing their necks.
Simon's got a hang-up. He's always flexing the muscles he hasn't got.
Maybe somebody once kicked sand in his face.
By the way, Italian, you now have a light bulb in your room.
Thank you, David.
Well, don't thank me. I feel I may have taken some of the mystery out of your life.
In my straight days, we called this bitching. Now it's group therapy. I think I'll go for a walk.
Dear Esther, so unflinchingly middle class. Any kind of confrontation terrifies her.
Maybe she has a point. About the new light bulb in my room.
Yes?
I didn't happen to get a chamber pot as well.
As a matter of fact, you did.
Now I feel I really belong. The chamber pot was charming, but it did nothing for the room. No thing, no person could ever do anything for that room, except haunt it. So I left it to its own baleful devices and went quietly out of the house, keeping to the dark shadows, skirting the stretch of lawn, until I reached the main avenue. And there I encountered a walking shadow that was darker than the rest.
Who is it?
Peter Talion.
Oh, you're a restless soul. Don't you agree?
I don't agree. I don't disagree. I spend my life listening to people telling me what I am.
And not really listening at all.
Wrong. I listen very, very carefully. And I learn a lot about other people.
That's a kind of upside-down ego trip.
Are you waiting for someone?
Now, what makes you think that?
Feeling.
Lady Chatterley slipping out to meet the gamekeeper?
There are other reasons for meeting.
Tell me about them.
Did you deliberately take me along to see Hardacre this evening?
You're full of surprises.
Or perhaps to let Hardacre see me.
Not surprises, paranoia.
There's a lot of it about.
I like it. I like the thought of us having an ex-copper to screen all would-be communicants.
The boot would be on the other foot.
Explain that.
He might insist on vetting everyone who comes here.
That's an explanation.
Who's to say he's a lapsed cop? He could still be in business.
Doing what?
Leaning on the commune here.
Oh, come on. How could he do that?
Oh, come on. Anyone who's 5 minutes into the alternative bit could give you chapter and verse.
I must say you live a full, rich life of the imagination.
And I've got to get on with it. Right now. Down at the pub.
Oh, isn't that rather asking for trouble?
Not for me. I've got police protection. A long, dark road. Black hedges. Once an overhang of trees offering their arms for gallows. A moon seen fitfully through thickening clouds. Once I controlled the tides. Then one day I lay between the feet of men. Who now control?
This video was uploaded to the channel Thinking Out Louder. Please like, comment and subscribe to the Thinking Out Louder channel. Thank you.
The surge of oceans. The pub was sparse with people. Hardacre stood in a corner leaning against the counter. Two old men moved arthritic hands across a table playing dominoes. A group of rural yobbos with red, beef-fed rural faces laughed loudly at jokes much older than they were. The laughter ceased as I walked in, and there was a silence as they waited for the barman to pronounce my doom.
Your barman here.
You too, Judge, when I've had a word with the licensing court.
What are you talking about?
McAllister drinking out of ours.
Oh, now, look, if you
come,
think...
Come, come now, gentlemen. Why don't we let bygones be bygones?
All right, Mr. Hardacre. As a favor to you...
Good man. Now, just bring us a couple of whiskies in the back room.
The back room had the kind of proportions you would need for a coffin to bury a giraffe in, standing up. On one wall was a photograph of a Clydesdale horse. The man standing proudly beside it had a heavy black moustache and one of those strong, uncomplicated faces that died by the 100,000 in the First World War and never were replaced. Hardacre squeezed into a chair and gave me a look from his repertoire of policeman looks. This one had a kind of creaking friendliness.
You did a good job on McAllister.
Not really. He's still alive.
You've grown a lot harder since we last met.
Cause and effect, maybe?
McAllister has a fractured jaw, a broken arm, and an assortment of cracked ribs.
Did we come here to talk about McAllister?
His brother's the local constable. He was more than keen to do something about you.
But you squared it, huh?
If you like to put it that way. No tiny word of gratitude?
Just tell me what it's going to cost me.
It might actually cost you nothing.
Sometimes I prefer cops who just take money.
I brought back your gun. Go on. Take it before somebody comes in.
Maybe I'd be smarter to wait till somebody does.
Please yourself. I thought you might feel impotent without it. A sense of flagging purpose and all that Freudian crap. But maybe you're one of those versatile killers.
Death hath 10,000 several entrances. Give me the gun. Thank you. How's the badger business?
Slow.
I don't think you'd recognize a badger if you found one in your bed.
I remember seeing one years ago when I took my kids to the zoo.
You have kids?
A boy and a girl.
Funny. I just don't see you as a father.
It took my wife 20 years to say the same thing.
God bless us all, said Tiny Tim. Especially the dedicated ones.
Yeah.
You're wanted on the phone, Mr. Hardacre.
I'll be right there.
I sat and looked at the photograph on the wall. The massive horse, prinked and primped, to gleam through a vanished country afternoon. The man's face haunted me. Did he die in the mud of France, or withering into the desert sand? Or was he still alive, no longer simple, innocent, just old, arthritic, playing dominoes? Then Hardacre was back in the room, and he seemed to be running some kind of temperature that wasn't physical.
I have to go.
I'll come with you.
Have I made my point?
I reckon.
We're both after the same person. I don't give a damn who gets him as long as he's got.
Fine, as far as it goes.
I'm listening.
If I get to him first, what then?
You asking me to try and stop you?
I'd hate to think you might get two badges for the price of one.
Who knows? Who knows?
Outside, the clouds had blacked out the moon, and there were small spits of rain. Hardacre strode along, stolid, heavy-footed, a ploughman's stride. For a while, he was uncharacteristically silent. Silence is not a policeman's virtue. Silence tells you nothing. The effort was too great for him, and finally he spoke.
Tell me about your brother.
You probably know more about him than I do.
Were you surprised he turned out the way he did?
Once, when we were both kids, we spent a whole summer in Belfast, and he hated the place. Madam, I can't begin to tell you how much he hated it.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I took him to get his hair cut. He would be about, 8 or 9 at the time. He sat there rigid in the chair, ignoring all the barber's well-meant blarney. And then, when the job was finished, he collected all his cut hair off the floor and put it in a paper bag.
Never.
Yeah. He brought that paper bag all the way home and then threw it away.
How about that? He hated the place so much he wouldn't even leave his hair clippings there.
Oh, he hated deeply. He loved deeply. But yesterday's love was today's hate. That made him dangerous to himself and other people.
You didn't like your brother very much, did you?
Did it matter anymore?
No, no. Except that it's unusual to want to avenge someone you didn't like. Unless, of course...
Unless there's another reason.
Right.
And if there is, do you think I'd tell you?
No.
What should we talk about now?
If God is dead, then all things are permitted. My mother's God was fiercely, savagely alive to her. And yet she let a baby die because her God forbade the human remedies that would have saved it. Perhaps her God was dead, and all her bitter, blinded love of him was only necrophilia. She was a cruel, beautiful woman, and my brother inherited her beauty and her cruelty.
You know the name of this man you're looking for?
Yes.
I think I could guess it.
Do that, but not out loud.
I'll always remember you as the man who killed the art of conversation.
I'll tell you his name if you tell me who your spy is in the commune.
No way. There's a path across the fields here to my cottage. Good night.
He vanished into the darkness, a heavy, plodding man, whose mind was neither heavy nor plodding. Another mile or so brought me to the somber gates of Balfin House, and the long avenue with its felled trees and scent of dead leaves. At the head of the avenue, a dense clump of rhododendrons, and the stables and outhouses, and the beam from a powerful torch hit me straight between the eyes.
When you're ready, I would like my eyes back.
Oh, sorry, Talion.
Oh, it's Ivor, isn't it?
Right.
Anything wrong?
You've been to the village?
Yes.
You didn't happen to see anyone on your way up the avenue?
No one.
I nearly caught him.
Who?
The character that's been ripping off the hens. Just caught a glimpse of him in the light.
Enough to recognise?
No. Just a sort of blur of movement. He's still there. Watching.
How do you know?
I just know.
You're getting bad vibrations, huh?
Very bad.
Let's flush him out.
But we didn't flush him out. The light brought sudden leaves leaping from the darkness, and the eyes of small animals like tiny illuminated buttons, but nothing else. And yet he was there, and now we both knew it, and felt it. A cold, mad, silent evil. I think it was then, stumbling about in the darkness, the torch flashing irregularly like a mutinous lighthouse beam, the small eyes of the scampering animals, the smell of earth. I think it was then I first began to feel uneasy, an unease that stretched back yesterday and beyond, and sat black and heavy in the future.
Let's go back to the house. I'm not imagining things, you know.
I believe you.
Hens aren't the stupid birds everyone thinks. They have definite personalities.
Did you have pet names for them, like Georges Sand or Indira Gandhi?
Well, there was a dopey one I used to think of as Joan of Arc.
She's probably met the same fate. Do I hear music?
It's Jenny. She could have been concert standard.
Are you voicing a regret?
No, not me. Admiration, yeah. Regrets, no. For regrets, real bitter, angry regrets, you should apply to our old man.
Send him the cost of the lessons when you're rich.
If I was rich, I wouldn't give him penny one.
That's how the rich stay rich.
Do you like music?
Yes, I do.
The piano teacher was thin and sharp and angular, a walking dissonance. Her fingers were like roots of ginger. Her upper lip was fringed with dark hair. She looked as though the sexes had tossed a coin for her and both lost. She got herself pregnant by a blind piano tuner, and my mother cancelled our piano lessons because the piano tuner was a Catholic. We walked into the house and towards the music. It came from the back of the house, where Ivor and Jenny had their living space. Their room was enormous and simple. It even dwarfed the grand piano that Jenny sat at. There were paintings on the walls, fishing boats, the work of a child, until you looked at them a second time, and then they seemed either the work of a knowing child or a second childhood. There was a big brass bed and no more furniture than required. Everything was neat and spotless and domestic as a knife and fork. You could have said the same about Jenny, and you would have been wrong.
Hello, Peter Talion.
I found him lurking in the shrubbery.
Did you search him for missing hens?
He's clean, baby.
Then give him a drink, darling.
Only beer, I'm afraid.
It's Talion who should be afraid. Ivor brewed the beer himself. 2 pints and you think you're Genghis Khan. 3 pints and you are.
Beer is fine. What was that piece you were playing?
It's rather sweet, isn't it? It's called Young Girls in the Garden. It turns Ivor on.
I still don't know any better. Music makes pictures for me.
Edwardian ladies wearing long dresses with leg of mutton sleeves, little straw hats on their heads, and parasols to protect them from the sun that never sets on their empire. One of Ivor's most endearing working-class fantasies.
Oh, for God's sake, leave us off fantasies. You upper class have taken everything else.
Here, try this, Talion. Mmm, it's very good. Makes you wonder what that stuff is they sell in pubs. Makes quite an impact.
So do you, my friend.
Story of my life. Everywhere I go, people use me as a peg for their own hang-ups. Anyway, we're on your side, Talion. Do I have a side to be on?
If you want to join the commune, you have to be voted in.
Maybe it's time I started canvassing.
You've left it too late. Jason came back an hour ago.
Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I had almost ceased to believe in the existence of Jason. He was a threat, a promise, a symbol, an in-joke, pie in the sky, a pot of gold at the rainbow's end, the money tree. He was everything, plus or minus, except real.
That was Badger by Owlite by Edward Boyd. Peter Talion was played by Edward Judd. The rest of the cast was Esther, Diana Olson, Sarah, Anne Kristen, Hardacre, James Cairncross, Simon, Tony Robinson, David, Andrew McRobb, Jenny, Sarah Collier, Jason, Ian Stewart, Ivor, Michael McKenzie, Ginny, Nicola Ferguson-Smith, Police Constable, Crawford Logan. Technical presentation was by Michael Edwards and Tom Anderson. The production from our Glasgow studios was by Stuart Conn.